believe? Do you believe? Do you believe what he says of you? Can someone tell me, what does the Lord say about you? What do you believe?
I'm special.
Special.
I'm loved.
Loved.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Yes, Joe? Handsome. What does the Lord say about you?
Powerful.
And today, what is the title of the conference? You are precious. Precious. Do you believe that you are precious? We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 43, from verses 1 to 4. But before we read, let's continue with another prayer. So, Father Lord, we just thank you because you just have good thoughts towards us. Thoughts of good and not of evil, Lord. And Lord, I pray, Lord Jesus, that even as you choose to minister to all of us today, even through me, Lord, I pray that everyone under the sound of my voice will just hear exactly what you have to say, Lord, and believe, Lord. Come against all distractions, oh God. I pray that you soften every heart. I pray that every heart will be receptive to the truth that brings freedom, oh God. The truth that saves souls, the truth that brings transformation, Lord, that no one will leave the same way that they came, Lord, that you just reinforce your truth that we are precious. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isaiah chapter 43 from verses 1 to 4. And I'm reading from the New King James Version. But now, thus says the Lord who created you, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. Verse 4 again. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life. If we go back to verse 1, it says, but now, thus says the Lord who created you. We're starting from the very beginning. The Creator is speaking. The God who made heaven and earth is speaking to us. And he says, I created you. Now, if you want to know how anything functions, if you want to know how anything is supposed to work, where do you go? You go to the manual, right? You go to the manual, and who do you expect to know best how something is supposed to work or how something is supposed to operate? The Creator, the one who invented, the one who formed, the one who created. And it's the Creator that's speaking to us today. So I just want us to remember that, the Creator, not even your parents, not your boss, not your primary school or elementary school teacher or kindergarten teacher or high school teacher, not that guy, not that girl, but the Lord, your Creator, is speaking, the one that knows exactly what or who you are intended to be. And he says, "Fear not, for I have redeemed you. You are mine." You see, there's things in this first verse that I want to use to just lay the introduction to this. I said first, the Lord your creator is speaking. And then it says, he formed you. This indicates intention, right? Sometimes, like, I mean, I'm not going to go into theories and everything, but the thing that I have against the evolutionary theory is the fact that it supposes that you just exist. You just appeared, right? There was just a big bang, and you just appeared, which means you were just, like, there was no intention behind you. There was no purpose. But God is saying, no, I formed you. When you think about something being formed, you know, things being put together, knit together, intention. So exactly when we talk about your form, who you are, many of us, especially women, we are obsessed with our form. We are obsessed with our shape, we're obsessed with how we look, we're obsessed with, yeah, all kinds of things. But God is saying, I formed you. And what does that you mean? You know, you are a spirit, you have a mind, and you live in a body. So you, your spirit, you, who you are, your DNA, everything that makes up your identity, God the Creator formed and put us all together. And yes, we come in all shapes and sizes and all colors and whatever. That's the outer casing. But who you are, who God formed, remains the same. Remains the same. The intention, what he created, you're still there. No matter what has happened, no matter what is going on today, no matter where you've been, no matter where you think you're going, he says, I formed you. You. And then he says, he redeemed you. The verse says, he redeemed you. Why is that also important? Because even as I'm saying to you that you were formed, maybe you have started to think about, oh, yeah, but all of the cakes that I eat and the fried chicken and all of that, I'm sure that's not what God intended me to eat. And so I don't exactly look the way God intended me to look. By the way, I'm just speaking for myself. I'm just telling you, like, my own life story. But he says, he redeemed you. What does it mean to redeem? I looked it up and it says to regain possession for something in exchange for a payment. So yes, not everything is perfect. You know, when God created us, he said it was good, and we know what happened in the beginning, and Adam and Eve, and then the serpent that came to Eve and told her that she could eat of the tree, and she ate of the tree, and then sin came in. And so yes, things are no longer perfect. Yes, our decisions are no longer perfect. Our situations are not perfect. Our families are not perfect. Our relationships are not perfect. Our children are not perfect. But he says he has redeemed us. Right? He has redeemed us. He has purchased us. He has brought us back from that imperfection. He has brought us back. And then it says, he has called you. Yes, you. Everyone here, you. He has called you. And you may not know exactly who you are and what your calling is. But today, I don't want you to get caught up on that. I want you to get caught up on the fact that your Creator, who formed you, who redeemed you, is saying, I've also called you. And so you don't get caught up in, what is that calling? Who is it? What is it? But whose you are. You belong to God. You belong to the Creator. You belong to the Creator. And then we go into verse 2. So that's just the introduction. But we go into verse 2. It says, when you pass through waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, nor shall the flames scorch you. What is this talking about? Yes, the Lord created us. Yes, we are called. But that does not exempt us from challenges of life. That does not exempt us from situations. It talks about the waters, then the rivers, then the fire. Right? But I'm not focusing on those things right now. Yes? That can be trouble at your job. That can be financial issues. That could be children acting up. That could be that guy that won't commit. It can be anything. But that's not the point here. The point is, the word says, when you pass through. It says when, which means you will experience challenges. It's not if, it's when. But it says pass through. When you pass through. Your situation does not define you. Your current state does not define you. Your current shape does not define you. Your current struggles do not define you. Yes, it might be tough, it might be hard. Yes, you may feel like you're drowning. You may feel like you're just treading water. But the word, your Creator says, I'm with you. And you will pass through. This too shall pass. But I'm not just giving you a, oh yes, everything's going to be all right. Everything's going to be all right. No, I'm not telling you that it's just going to be all right. It's not just going to be all right. I'm not saying that your situation right now is not tough. It's not hard. I'm not even saying that you're not even the cause of your own current situation. It could be your own choices that have got you where you are. But the Lord is saying that I'm calling you out of that place. I'm calling you out. I'm calling you out. Why am I calling you out? If you look at verse 3, it says, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Saying whatever you are going through, whatever is hurting you, whatever feels like it's overwhelming you, what is that situation that seems so impossible? What is that decision, that habit that you just don't seem to be able to kick? Those choices that you keep saying, Lord, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry, I'm sorry. And he's like, I'm calling you, I'm calling you, I'm calling you. You can come out. You don't have to keep making that same mess, that same mistake over and over and over again. Because I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. You see, the mistake that we often make is we try and save ourselves. We try and get ourselves out of the mess. We try and get ourselves through the storm. We try and get ourselves through the fire. What we don't realize is that he's right there with you. And all you need to do is turn to him. And he's saying, I'm calling you. I'm right here ready to rescue you. To save you. My arms are open wide. Stop running away from me. Run to me. You know, it's like when Peter was walking on the water, he got out of the boat. He says, yeah, Lord Jesus, if it's you, tell me to come. And some of you are saying, Jesus, if you can really save, tell me to come. If you can really save, end this relationship. If you can really save, pay my bills. If you can really save, whatever the blank is, fill in the line. And he says, come. And Peter got out of the boat. And some of you have gotten out of the boat. And you've started walking on the water to Jesus. Can you imagine the sight? It's like, wow, oh my God. Walking on water, defying gravity, doing the impossible, leaving those sins behind, leaving the challenges behind, having joy in the midst of your pain. But then suddenly, what happened? Peter starts sinking. Why does he start sinking? He takes his eye off Jesus. Some of you are sinking, not because Jesus can't save, but because you're taking your eye off the Savior. Some of you are insecure, and I shouldn't be saying you, some of us are insecure, some of us are suffering, some of us are feeling lonely, are dealing with anxiety, depression, some of us are just angry, not because Jesus cannot save, but because we're looking away. We're looking at our own situations, or we're looking at the person to the left or to the right, and we're listening to those voices instead of keeping our gaze on Jesus. And he continues in verse 3b, I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place, since you were precious in my sight. And I kept getting caught up on this as I was reading this scripture, like, you gave Egypt for your ransom and Ethiopia and Seba in your place. And I just started thinking about all the times when the Israelites messed up. Right, all the times that they kept complaining, like God says, hey, you are my chosen people. You are, you know, I'm using you as a sign to all generations of how good I am and how kind I am. But Israel just keep complaining. They kept turning to idols. I'd be like, why do you have the whole God of creation who's got your back and fighting for you and providing all you need, raining bread down from heaven and bringing water out of a rock, but yet you still want to bow down to a gold calf, or you still want to worship your partner, or you still want to fixate on those bills. I don't know, but why is it that we just keep turning away from God? And I'm just looking at that and I'm thinking, Israelites, okay, they kept turning away, But you know what? Even when they turned away, and even when God would send judgment, like he would send the Egyptians or the Babylonians or whichever nation to come and, you know, take over the land and take them into captivity, take them into slavery, even when it was their own fault, he would judge. But yet he would then still show mercy. And he would still destroy the Babylonians, destroy the Egyptians, the very people that he's using to judge, the very nations he's using to judge his people are the same ones he would still destroy because they just didn't get it that these are my people. What am I getting out of this? I was getting out of this that, yes, this is an imperfect world, and sometimes bad things happen. Not most of the, a lot of the times bad things happen just because we live in a fallen world. But sometimes things happen because of our own choices. There are consequences to our choices. And I believe that God is speaking to someone right now about choices that you have made that have put you in the fire, that have put you in the river, that have put you in that situation where you just feel like there's no way out. And God is just saying, yes, there are consequences, but I'm ready to give Egypt for your sake. I am willing to deal with your accusers. I am willing to rescue you if you would just come to me. If you would just recognize, he says, you are precious in my sight. If you would just recognize that those labels do not define you. What I say defines you. That situation does not define you. What I say define you. And we go back, we're talking about the Creator. When I say I say, it's not Jimmy says, the Creator, your Creator says you are precious. Do you know what word, what are the things that we use the word precious with? Usually precious gems and stones, right? Things that go through the fire and come out valuable. Things that go through the fire and are worth millions and billions. And God is saying, yeah, it doesn't matter if it's just circumstances of life or choices that you've made that have put you in this particular situation. You are just passing through. You are precious to me. And I will honor you. I have loved you. Therefore, I give men for you and people for your life. You see, to be precious, according to Blue Letter Bible, says to esteem, be prized, be valuable, be costly, be appraised, highly valued. Highly valued. Highly valued. The three things that God wants you to remember is there in verse 4. You are precious. You are honored. And you are loved. And I was saying, Lord, but why? Like, I mean, we hear these things all the time. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And you're good. We know these things. Like, we can quote it. We can say it. But we know we don't really internalize it. And I was like, why? Why do you want us to know how precious we are? And I was led to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, where the Lord mentions, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. People, we are perishing because we don't know the word of God. We don't know what God has to say about us. We are not looking at Jesus. And looking at Jesus sounds so, let's look, I don't see him. Let's look, I don't. No, I'm talking about getting in your word. I'm talking about praying. I'm talking about spending time with the one who made you, the one who paid a price for you. The Lord was just saying to me that, look, the devil has been trying to attack our identity from the very beginning. He started, this whole downward spiral started with, did God really say? And that's what the enemy is always whispering in your ears. Did God really say that you're precious? Did God really say that he will honor you? Did God really say that you are called? And the Lord is saying that, yes, I said it. And I said it in spite of you. I say it in spite of where you've been. I say it in spite of what's on your mind right now. You are precious is just a fact. Not because of who you are, but because of who he is. Because of who he is. And he says, and I still said, okay, Lord, but so what? What should we go away with? And he was like, what is the opposite of all these words? What is the opposite of precious? Cheap. Common. Defective. Deficient. Inexpensive. Useless. Worthless. Valueless. These are the kind of lies that the enemy is repeating in your mind over and over again. I can't do this. I'm not good enough. I'm not worth it. Completely opposite to what the Lord is saying to you. What's the opposite of honor? Blame. Criticism. Disregard. Unimportance. Depression. Disobedience. Again, nothing to do with what the Lord has in mind for you. Nothing to do with what the Lord says about you. What's the opposite of love? Dislike, hate, neglect, indifference, apathy, disloyalty. And God's saying the reason why he titled this conference Precious, the reason why he wants you to know how precious you are, is because if you don't get to realizing who he says you are, these are the type of things you not only experience, but you also spread. Envy, jealousy, fighting, quarreling. James chapter 4 verse 1, I'm going to read. It says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on all your pleasures. All James is saying is that most of the quarrels and fights just come from materialism. And where does materialism, our preoccupation with things, with material things, comes from the emptiness that we have within. Not feeling precious, not feeling valued. So we keep going after things to compensate for that emptiness, for that feeling of inadequacy. That feeling of not being loved, that feeling of not being valued. We try and find that value in other things. And I can name examples of things, but you would know the type of things that you that are preoccupied, things that take your eyes off of Jesus. But it all comes down to, what do you believe? Do you believe that your value is in those things or in that person or in what that person said, in accomplishments, in achievements, in how your kids behave or do not behave, in what degree or what signage is next to your name or in what position you play either in the church or in school or in work? Is it tied to your promotion? Is it or lack of promotion? Are these all the things that you measure yourself by? God's saying, no, I created you and you're precious. Whether you have the highest position in the company or not, you're still precious. Whether you feel worth it or not, whether he proposes to you or not, you're still precious. But you need to get with my program. You need to get out of that mess, that situation, that lie that you know you constantly tell yourself or listen to every single day. You need to cut it off and start listening to what I say about you. That you are precious. And then I got fixated on the, therefore, I will give men for you and people for your life, because I felt like that was where the meat of what God wanted to say was, and just nothing was really coming to me. I was like, what do you mean, men? And this verse is applied in so many ways for me personally. Like, I have seen boundaries shift. I've seen, like, I remember in high school when I was praying to God to pass my exams, and I remember him saying, you know, and I remember doing one of the exams and I forgot one page. I forgot there was one page where I was supposed to answer the question and somehow I didn't see it, and I finished the exam and people were asking, hey, did you do that question? I was like, what? What question? What happened? And I was like, God, I studied. And I think I even had a dream about that happening even beforehand, and it still happened, and I was freaking out, and God was saying, don't worry, the lines will be drawn in your favor. And I was like, what do you mean? And I remember that when they get all the grades together, they draw the boundaries, like, you know, what's going to be top, what's going to be second. And I remember they just moved the boundary such that whatever I got became like on top of the line, like over the line. And These are the kind of things that God has used that verse to minister to me, where he says he'll give men for your sake. You know, like sometimes I'm telling my husband about organizational changes that happen in the workplace, right? Like they're restructuring and this person is moving in and this person is moving out. And he's like, oh, what's that going to do? How does that make you feel? What's that going to do about your position? And I'm like, I'm good. The Bible says all things work together for my good, because I love the Lord and I'm called according to his purpose. So whatever change happens, I'm good. And I've seen changes happen that I know that if those changes, those restructurings didn't happen, I wouldn't be where I am today in the company. So I know what God says when he talks about, I give men and people for your life. No, not because I'm better than anybody, no. Not because they don't deserve promotion, other people don't deserve promotions, or other people don't deserve positions. No, that's not what I'm trying to say here. I'm just trying to say that God is sovereign and he knows how to shift things and move people around to ensure that whatever he says about you shall come to pass. And some people are getting caught up and holding on to things that God is trying to shift out of your life to make you who he wants you to be. You're like clinging on and you're crying over that thing that God is trying to take away from you, because that's what needs to be shifted for you to recognize your calling. That's what needs to be moved. And I was like, okay, God, so what needs to be shifted? What needs to be shifted? And he's like, the only thing that I want my people to know today is that when you talk about I will give men and people for your life, that's an exchange. That's an exchange. Something is being exchanged for something else. And he says the only exchange that you need to know about today, the only exchange you need to know, is the divine exchange. You see, when you buy something from a store, remember we said God has redeemed us. When you buy something from a store and you want to return or you want to exchange it, you can't just go into the store and say, hey, I'm exchanging this thing for this thing that is way more valuable than this item, right? It has to be something that is of equal or less value if you're going to exchange something at a store, right? And God says, do you know what I exchanged? I exchanged my son, Jesus Christ, just to get you. I want to talk about precious. I let my son hang on the cross and die in exchange for you, for your healing, for your deliverance, for your self-esteem, for your mental health, for your physical health. He hung on the cross. That divine exchange took place to let you know that I love you, that you are precious, that you are honored, that you are loved. And this is not a feel-good message. It's just the truth. It's just what he says. The one who created you is telling you that I've already made that exchange to let you know that regardless of what is holding you back right now, it doesn't need to hold you back, because I have paid the price. You can stop walking around in guilt. You can stop walking around in shame. You can stop walking around with low self-esteem. You can stop walking around saying negative. Some of us, we walk by the mirror every day and everything we say to ourselves is just mean. It's not even other people that's bringing us down. It's our own self. We don't realize all the things that we say to ourselves day in, day out. You're so stupid. You're so silly. You just can't get anything right. No, God's saying you are precious. And the only way that you're ever going to walk in that reality is if you meditate on what he has to say to you. So I'm encouraging you, ladies and men, children, I'm encouraging you to get in the Word. I'm encouraging you to listen to what your Creator is saying so that you can drown out all the noise. He is with you, but you have to pay attention to Him. You have to focus on Him. And you don't need to, I'm not asking you to sit here going, I'm going to do this, I'm going to change this. No, He's just saying, come to me. Come to me and let me renew your mind. Then you will stop thinking certain things. And you will stop going to certain places. And you will stop making certain decisions. And you will stop getting yourself in trouble. And you will stop shouting at your kids all the time and getting so anxious and having those nervous attacks because you just need to rest in me. I care about you. You're precious. I've got your back if you would just stay focused on me. Church, we just need to get in the Word. We need to pray because the enemy is at us all the time. Sometimes he's at you through your spouse. Sometimes he's at you through your boss. The enemy can use any subtle thing to just knock you, steal your joy. The only way you can be in the right state of mind is if you are meditating on His Word day and night. The Bible says, take every thought captive. You can't take it captive if you don't know what to captivate it with. You have to say, no, I'm precious. You have to know, say, His Word says I'm healed. No, His Word says I'm delivered. No, His Word says I am a new creature. Old things have passed away and I have been made new. But you can't do that if you don't get in your Word. You have to take practical steps. Maybe put post-it notes. I put screensavers on my phone sometimes to remind myself of something that God is saying to me. Sometimes I put on the song that Sister Carmen danced to. Sometimes when things are going crazy at work, I've got that song on repeat as I'm walking into the office. Like, you say I am loved. You say, and I don't feel a thing. You say I'm loved. And I walk into the office, people think, what's wrong with her? And I'm like, yeah, I'm loved. I'm this. Because I've been meditating on the Word of God. Life isn't easy, but it can be easier if you trust in the Lord. Yes, we think all of these things. Most of the time I'll tell you, Catherine can tell you, she's been asking for a picture for like the last week. I don't want my picture up on anywhere. I don't want my picture on Facebook. I don't like that. Why? Because I don't want to be on display. Because sometimes I don't like the way I look, right? But that's not what God says about me. It's not about how I look. If I was going to be caught up on how I look and what my hair looks like and whatever, I wouldn't be able to stand up in front of you today. That's what the enemy would want. He would want to steal my purpose. He would want to steal my joy. And that's what he's doing to some of us each and every day. Holding you back from what your calling is, who you're supposed to be. Because you won't just say, shut up. I'm precious. Shut up. I'm loved. Some of you just need to just rehearse that every single day, every single minute. I don't know. Just get those lies out of your head. If it's just Isaiah chapter 43, 1-4 that you're going to walk around with for the next month, walk around with that. Stick it on your forehead, just like the Bible says. Take it literally. Stick it there. Put some verses on your mirror. I'm trying to say you need to do something because the enemy is assaulting you every day. You're looking on Facebook, you're seeing pictures of different people and different families. You're walking down the street, you see advertisements. There's always something that's getting your attention, that's making you feel. Sometimes you don't even process. You come home, you're so angry, you don't even know why you're angry. You don't know which thing upset you this time. The truth is, you're meditating on all kinds of things that the enemy is throwing at you. You're not being intentional about meditating on the promises of God. That's what you need to do. If you really want to walk out of here knowing that you are precious, if you really want to walk every day knowing that you are precious, it's not just a thought, it's not a passing sermon, it's not a passing message. It's an intentional, deliberate decision every day to pick up the word of God, sit down at his feet in prayer and say, yes, Lord, this is what you say about me. I believe. I believe what you say of me. I believe. So with that, we're going to watch a video about the Father's love. And I just hope you reflect on what the Lord is saying about you. But I hope that you don't, it's not about emotions and things. I want you to think as you're just watching this video, thinking about what action are you going to take to remind yourself daily? Remember, I talked about the example of Peter, whose eyes were on Jesus and he was walking on water. He started to get distracted and he started to sink. What are you going to do to walk on water every day of your life? That's something that I want you to think about. Let the Holy Spirit lead you. But church, women, it's time to walk on water. Thank you.
If there is one thing